And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood online shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing, man? How you holding up?
Well, I'm doing all right, Joe. I'm feeling good enough to come down for the game this weekend. So here's hoping to bring a little good luck down for us.
Well, I think you're coming at a really good time because the excuses, there's none left. You're going to be as healthy on offense as anybody in the league from the start of the season to having all the starting five on the O-line. Jonnu Smith playing pretty well. You got two wide receivers on the outside, haven't been able to get the ball, but you've got your quarterback back and three healthy running backs. You can run your whole offense, man, and you're playing against an Arizona defense that's just not very good. Those things all equal, you should be able to get that offense going again.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you make great points about like player availability and what the rest of the team was able to do with Tua out on the sideline. But I think the thing that I have the most encouragement about. Can you take it? Thank you.
You can talk to your daughter anytime you need to because this is a family show.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
And if you got dogs, we also love our dogs. So go ahead.
I think the thing that I'm most optimistic about is, like, we hear all this about this being a timing-oriented offense. But the timing, even if it's off with Tua back for missing time, it's still going to be so much better than what it was the past 4 weeks that you do expect there to be a lot of production. And right. I don't think you're going to see the best version of what this offense can be, but the fact that you're going to see the ability to play complementary in a matchup that you feel like you do have some good things you can take advantage of, especially in the secondary of the Cardinals. Like, I expect them to move the ball a lot, and I'll be disappointed if they don't move the ball a lot because they've shown the ability to move the ball, running the ball the last couple of weeks.
Right.
That you can lean on that even if you're not firing on all cylinders passing the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree. You just got to clean it up. You know, you can't miss field goals. You can't have a bunch of penalties that end up calling plays back or putting you in third and super long situations. And obviously, you can't turn the ball over, those especially in bad field positions. So outside of that, man, I just think this is a chance to really get healthy before you go to Buffalo. So I saw a lot of social media stuff yesterday. I very seldom see it, but I saw – so they release off the practice squad one of their tight ends, free agent, that had a nice little preseason for himself.
Yep.
And the Julian Hill stuff started up, like, why is this guy still on the team? So Julian Hill is a blocking machine. His motion blocking and stuff that he's doing, the problem is all the penalties.
Sure.
And probably should be a little better as a receiver. But what's your take on Julian Hill? I'm just curious. Because the team's not giving up on him. They think he's got a chance to be really good.
I think he has a chance to be really good, too. And I'm willing to live with the penalties that have come. I mean, it's getting so bad now. He's getting blamed for false starts on the punt team, and he's not even the guy false starting.
Right. Yeah, he got blamed for everything.
That's how bad it is right now.
Yeah.
And look, I get it. The holding penalties, he's had three of them. One of them was a drive killer against Seattle. The other two, they actually end up getting a fresh set of downs on both of those penalties. And the rest of them are like the five-yard varieties, the illegal formation on the punt team for not being on the line of scrimmage, being off the line of scrimmage. He did have a couple of false starts in the first 2 weeks. They scored a game-time field goal against Jacksonville on one of them, and then the touchdown that they scored against Buffalo. He had a false start on that possession, too. So the numbers are there. They're not back-breaking penalties. And this last one wasn't even him. And I'm like, what are we mad about? Alternative is Durham Smythe, who's been here for a long time. We know he's a functional tight end, too. But you saw Durham Smythe play over 800 snaps last year, and the team went out and brought in multiple pass-catching tight ends and has let Julian Hill pass him in the depth chart because he's a better blocker.
Right.
So, and I know everybody's looking for accountability. That was one of the big things for me over the last couple of weeks in the games that the Dolphins have lost. And they're looking at Julian Hill and the penalty number and asking, why is there not accountability for Julian Hill to get sat down or have Durham Smythe play? On the pecking order of list of problems that this team has had, like Julian Hill's mistakes aren't even costing you points when you have the opportunity to make points. Durham Smythe dropped a touchdown against Seattle that was right in the breadbasket,
yep.
And Durham Smythe had a holding call that took a 35-yard run off the board that would have had you in scoring territory against the Colts. And everybody comes out of the game and they're mad at the guy that false started on the punt team that didn't even move.
Yeah, I had talked to the coach, his coach, who's assistant head coach, and he said, Joey's got crazy talent, and he's going to be a good one.
People forget he played at Campbell University.
Yeah.
2 years ago. He has plenty of he has a ton of talent. He's a better athlete than Durham. He's a much better run blocker right now than Durham. So I'm all in with that part of their process. I agree with them wholeheartedly on this one.
Let me ask you about another guy that is kind of mixed bag right now. Odell Beckham Jr. Has been back, but he's only run basically slant routes. But what's your take on Odell Beckham Jr.?
I thought it was a bummer. The target that he got at the end of the first half against Indy, if that ball's on time, it's definitely a catch. It's definitely a first down, and he might have a chance to split a couple guys and get a chunk gain and maybe get into the end zone. So when that happened in real time, it's like, oh, okay, you got everybody out on the field. It's third and four. You threw at their best coverage player. That's an interesting choice. But Huntley takes like an extra shuffle hitch, and then the ball's kind of not out in front of him where it should be. If that's a precision play, it's a first down. So I guess the bummer with that is Huntley's used to throwing to Odell, so those would be the kind of reps you would hope you have some translatability with. I think he was never going to be a volume guy. It was always going to be selective opportunities. They talked about being able to help him on third down. We've seen the past couple of weeks they've run out this 11-personnel package where it's Odell, Waddle, Hill, Jonnu Smith, and then Devon Achane. I think that group can do a lot of damage, but you have to have a functional passing offense to do it. So I guess he's kind of been weaned in. I'm not surprised that the volume hasn't been great, but I have been hopeful, and I am hopeful that it's going to be better production than what we've got.
Well, everybody's making a big deal about, listen, a third wide receiver, we have zero production. As a third true wide receiver behind Waddle and Hill, hell, they've had trouble with production, let alone the third guy who just, you know, there's nothing there. Is that important to you that gets done? I think if they got the running game, they're two wide receivers and Jonnu Smith, I don't think that third wide receiver is as important as a lot of other people do. What do you think?
I think Jonnu Smith's emergence answers that question for you. You needed another option because teams are going to press up on you and they're going to play safety over the top of both of those guys. Okay, who's the guy in that case? When you get press, man, cover two, aggressive, or they go true zone, but they bracket both of the guys that you have. And if you put them on the same side, then they're going to box it. They're going to put 4/3 and try to leverage it that way. Away from those answers that defenses have, whether it's one on either side of the field or both of them on the same side, who can win? And Jonnu Smith has started to show you that ability over the last couple of weeks with the ways that they've been using him. That alleviates, hey, you need a wide receiver three. You'd love to have a wide receiver three. You'd love to get matchup specific, and teams that run a bunch of 11 personnel have a wide receiver that can do it. And I think Odell can selectively do it with some of his routes. He physically looks good. But the targets and the passing concept and being able to process the field at the line of scrimmage to know where we're supposed to go with the ball and when we're supposed to get there, like, none of that's there yet. So it's kind of to be determined for me, but I agree with you, like, we're not building the Madden team, right? Like, you're going to have 99s across the board at all your skill spots. And I think what they have is enough to have the answers that they need.
You all right with the pass rush defensively? And listen, I'm talking about defense that's really not the problem on this team. That's a fourth-ranked defense in the NFL. And they're quietly, and I thought defensive coordinators really got a good feel for his defense and what they can do. And that blitzing last game with Ramsey so much was fantastic. I loved it from the outside. But I want to ask you, pass rush, are you concerned about it?
A little bit, if we're being honest. I did see a lot of authentic wins off the edge. A lot of their pressures came with simulated pressures and DB pressures and the guys inside. And I didn't think either Calais or Zach had their best game rushing the pass of this pass game. But just the guys off the edge that you have right now, there's not a lot of we're going to win one-on-one matchups against offensive tackles. That's okay,
yeah.
But it just means you're going to have to play the game a certain kind of way, and it's going to change the numbers you have behind you in coverage.
We got Chop Robinson's been a topic since we drafted him, and everybody runs to a stat sheet and saw that he didn't put up big numbers at Penn State, and what are we doing? And other people are going, oh, my God, he's a freakish athlete. You didn't see him at the combine. He's going to be a special one. I know it's early, and I know how Bo feels about him, and who played that position and has had lots of sacks in his career. What do you think of him? He had a chance for a sack right up the middle, and he got, like a lot of guys, that big, strong son of a gun got outside and got away from it. But what do you think of Chop Robinson's pass rushing right now?
Yeah, between that and the tackle for loss opportunity they had on Trey Sermon when they were going down to kick one of those field goals, a couple missed opportunities for him. Look, he's playing ahead of schedule based off of the injuries that they have in the room. You knew when you drafted him, he doesn't really have a robust pass rush plan as an individual pass rusher. It was more traits. It was more motor. It was more how the defense moved him around at Penn State. You were hopeful they were going to do some stuff with him at Miami in that regard. But they're just down numbers on the edge. So that means he's playing more on early downs than what he ideally should be, if we're being honest. But you need bodies. And the run defense is and getting your hands placed and setting a hard edge and deconstructing blocks and processing combinations or feeling crack. You can't get sealed by Michael Pittman on a two-point stance when you have outside leverage on him at the snap on a quarterback run for Anthony Richardson that helped milk more clock down as they're trying to milk the clock and get in the end zone to try and seal the game. You ultimately hold them to a field goal, but they picked up 8 yards on a run for Anthony Richardson. You got blocked by a wide receiver. Like that kind of stuff. It adds up across the body of work of a game, but unfortunately, especially with like Emmanuel Ogba down,
he's got to play.
You need the bodies, use the first-round pick on him, so he's going to play. And so, like, I don't think you should be surprised by any of the struggles, and that was part of the skepticism that existed with that pick and what it means for a team that's trying to contend right now to get a player whose strengths and weaknesses are like that. You know, they picked that and they did it with Patrick Paul. They played the long game with both. And the question is, okay, you know, relative to the injuries that you have and what you need to be competitive this year, is that going to bite you in the butt? Because it has a chance to.
Yeah, I'm not big on the long game. That's another one here in South Florida, starting at the top. I'm not a huge fan. I'm a now game, not necessarily develop everybody for the future. And I get you got to build it through the draft. Don't get me wrong, but I'd like to see guys have an impact right away, because it does work other places.
Especially those early picks, Joe.
Yeah.
Especially those early picks.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, and we agree. Hey, what do you think of Kamara in the little bit that he played?
He showed some nice physicality. I think it was kind of exactly what you thought you were going to get from him. He took on pullers really well. He collapsed the pocket well. The questions with him are a little bit more on passing downs, length, and ability to get off of blocks to continue. But, you know, I think they're going to wean him in, and I think he has a chance to, like a lot of Emmanuel Agba's production has come off twists and stunts and games up front and stuff like that. Like, I think Kamara can be really good in that kind of stuff because he can play through lateral contact really well because he's low to the ground. He's not the tallest guy with a big surface area. Like, his center of mass sits much lower than Chop's does, and I think that's why you see Chop. Sometimes he can get leveraged and pushed off the spot. No, he's much more explosive than Kamara is, but I think Kamara, selectively through some of those twists and stunt games that they have, has the opportunity as he builds out from here to have some nice production for you, and I hope that he gets a lot more run. I would also shout out Tyus Bowser. I thought he was their best edge in this past game that they played against the Colts, as a guy who they obviously is familiar with the scheme and Anthony Weaver, but I came over from a different practice squad earlier this season, and he's giving you some pretty solid reps. I think he's somebody that at least deserves a shout-out in this edge group for a guy who has played a lot of football elsewhere, and he's doing a nice job for you with very little time to get ready to play with the teammates that he's playing with.
Hey, I leave you with this one. So I hate hearing it, but listen, it's over and done, and the writers ask these questions, but Tim Boyle said, man, they did a great job on our two guys on the outside. I have a vision of too deep every time I hear that. Well, we can't do it because they're in too deep. Or, well, I don't believe, and I know you agree with this, I think you do, that I don't buy you can take Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle together out of the same play. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. There's too many different things you can do. I'm saying if you're just going to run right at the safety, sure, he can lock on and run with you deep. But
yeah,
we did a pretty good job the last couple of years, and nobody ever brought this topic up.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing right now, or at least it feels like, I don't have the numbers to back it up, but this is kind of what my takeaway has been the last couple of weeks. It doesn't feel like they're moving those guys at the snap very often right now. Where you think about Tyreek and the quote-unquote, I'll use air quotes, your cheat motion.
Oh, no, I totally agree. He simplified everything, absolutely, to get rid of penalties, yes.
So you did that to get rid of penalties, but you are running motion a lot more with your fullback and your tight ends to try to get advantages in the run game. So that, to me, feels like a lot of their investment that they've kept in moving players before the snap,
yeah,
is changing the numbers on which side of the center when you're trying to run the ball. And obviously they've ran the ball 40 times each of the last 2 weeks. So that to me feels like when you end up being static with your wide receivers, it makes it easier to put the cap on. So that's kind of where,
yeah,
it's one of those things that I'll be looking for against Arizona is, okay, can we get Jalen and Tyreek in motion a little bit more so that they have free access at the snap? And they're not able to get a bead on, okay, we're going to play a hard flat corner here and cloud over the top with a safety over the top, and then we're going to bracket with the nickel inside, and if he comes inside, I'm going to take, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's where my eyes are at with that storyline, but I do agree with you. Like, you've got two guys that are way too talented to just be like, oh, they took them away from us, we couldn't throw to them. Like, yeah, there were opportunities that they had to have schemed targets. Like, they tried to run, like, a pseudo screen on a shallow on 3rd and 7, and they ran Waddle on – he was in a stack with Malik Washington, and Waddle ran a fade, and Washington ran underneath it to run the cross. That should probably be Jalen Waddle running the cross when the guys on the other side of the field are setting up the block to try and get a run after catch opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that, you could get those guys.
So before I let you go, does this call, now that you're coming in town, and I know you have some really good friends that throw one of the great tailgates in the yep. history of South Florida, are you going out there? Are you?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Well, that's going to – force me to try to find some time to get out
down
there. I can't do the shots though. They go. Do you? Yeah, they do the shots, you know,
they, or two. They gaslight me and try and get me to do a few. I might save it till right before the game and take one to appease them a little bit. But no, I got to be on my P's and Q's. I got to make notes during the game.
Me too. That's Joe drinking again. I can tell. All right, hey Kyle. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it, brother. We'll see you when you get down here.
All right, thanks, Joe. Sounds good.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fence podcast, joining us here this morning. We're running a little bit late here, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Couple of things to get to here before we keep it going. We first have the Dave & Buster's gift card giveaway, $250 gift card that you could win to see football, the Eaton Panthers, and enter Miami, the MLS playoffs. To enter, go to WQAM.com/contest. Dave & Buster's, eat, drink, play, watch sports at Dave & Buster's in Hollywood. So we got that one. That's a good prize there, Joe. And we also have a couple of Heat tickets to give away. Whenever you give the word.
For the Knicks game.
Yes, for the Knicks game.
Wednesday.
Hot ticket out there, yeah.
This coming Wednesday. First look at just how good the Knicks are. With the new center, got rid of some really good pieces that helped their playoff run last year. So see how that...
Maybe they could take you since you're having trouble getting tickets around here.
Well, I always got to bring up something personally here. I'd like to just focus on this and not ticket situations that are going on. I'm off to a good start with Paul. Give me a call,
you're
Paul.
You're back? Back in his good graces?
Give me a call, Paul. We're good. Or, like, I don't call you Paul.
So, no call, Paul.
No call, Paul. Thank you. I knew that's what it was.
I'm glad to see that you guys are working things out, though.
Why are you?
What about our boss? Do you think any chance there or no?
I never see him. I drove by him yesterday as I was leaving.
You wave? Did you say hello?
Oh, no, he zoned in like a 85-year-old little man. He had his head down a little bit there, and he's aging fast. Now
he was focusing on his driving, so you're taking a shot at him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was zoned in on that driving.
Uh-huh.
I see why he didn't like to leave the house too much, because that...
You know what, man? You shouldn't give the guy a hard time focusing on his driving just because you're on your phone the entire time while you're driving.
I'm not on my phone. You are. You're not even with me. I always talk to you like you and I hang out and you've seen all my habits.
I assume you are a phone guy.
No, see? Well, you don't know. I don't hang out with you when we're not here.
I mean, you've sent me texts before when you're driving.
Has to do with business or something I've seen or something like that.
Are you a big phone guy while you drive or no?
No.
Okay. I mean, you can come clean, like 99% of people down here are doing
No, I'd much rather, I've got the Spotify thing. I literally have all the music I like.
You jam out in there.
I have all the music and I like, and put a little oldie in there, a couple of oldies, throw a couple of 80s, 90s, and today.
I got to tell you something. I'm seeing more of this replay of the Sam Darnold thing. I mean, my God, man.
I wonder, it was such, the guy standing right there, he said he got blocked, so he didn't make the call, but it was the time. So if you haven't seen it yet, and you're just getting up with what he's talking about, Sam Darnold is down 8 points, 28-20. He is backed up. They've got 140 left, and he's trying to stay away from everybody, and one of the defensive linemen break through and basically take the face mask and rip his head around and down to the ground. It's
worse than you can even describe it, by the way.
And it was
so bad.
They're calling it one of the worst no calls in the history. And we have the worst calls that have ever been made, the worst no calls to not be made. And so that kind of took the headline with not, and by the way, not that they guarantee that they're going to go down and score with 140 left, down eight, you still got to get a touchdown to 2-point conversion. And do you have enough time? Because unlike college, the NFL, while you're setting up after a first down, the old clock keeps running, and you can chew up 140 real quickly.
That's true, but like,
but we'll never
have a ball first down at the 20, right? Yeah. Wherever they, put it. But
no, it was, that happened in the end zone, by the way.
It did, but I don't know what the line of scrimmage was on that play or whatever. Either way, though, Joe, you're at the 15-yard line, so
kind of
a different situation there, and that's a high-powered offense.
Yep. They got.
They have some horses.
They got the number one horse, in my opinion. But yeah, so that face mask call not called, and so this guy's just getting crushed. It was almost bad enough where I could see those guys. He's going to get graded down on it because they grade the hell out of those officials. But I don't know if you can get suspended for that. That would be my
thing. Is though, it doesn't matter, right?
He said I got blocked out. I didn't see it. Because their number one job, ahead of everything, pass interference, is to protect starting quarterbacks. And Sam Darnold has been one of the best starting quarterbacks in the league. Two more touchdowns last night. Stafford and Darnold both had good games last night. Both played really well. But their number one job, and they tell us, it's not my words. I sit in there when they have that meeting and they go, hey, just so you know, so nobody's upset, our job is to protect the starting quarterback, and they followed up with, nobody wants to see the backup quarterback. Everybody wants to see the number one guy, and they're paying him a lot of money, and our job is to protect him. So sometimes you're going to see the guy get hit in the head, you're not going to like it, or effort to get to his legs, and we're going to call the Brady rule, or we can, and you can't body slam your weight, and if we think you're putting all your weight as you're taking the quarterback down, that's a penalty if you land on him. So, and like,
would you be okay with that replay assist thing, which I love, by the way? I love replay assist because
you can't just throw replay in. Like, so the rule is right now you cannot replay penalties.
Yeah, but that's
so you can't go, well, we're going to do it this one time because this is a bad call. On national TV on a Thursday night, no other games, not double hitting like ESPN on a Monday night. This is it.
What about if it's a penalty that there can be no debate on? Like pass interference, I get you, almost every single time you're going to be like, able to debate it, right?
But
face mask, either you grabbed it or you didn't. Right, and how many times do we see it? Like a guy, they'll say, "Oh, he grabbed the
jersey." I think it's a bad idea.
It's a face mask, like whatever.
It was a terrible no call, but it's a bad. You can't just put a rule in just so.
But face mask is cut and dry, though. There's no in between. Like pass interference, I got you. Holding, I got you. It's kind of subjective. Like you see it, it's like, all right, it could be, couldn't be, whatever. And you could review those every time.
I don't want to review penalties.
A different way.
Bill Belichick.
But
this is Bill Belichick's been big on this.
But you have these guys in a booth that are watching the game, the replay assist. All they got to do is buzz down and be like, hey, that's not a safety.
So what are we going to call?
Ripped down by his face mask. pretty blatantly. Like,
are you the guy that every time something happens, it's bad, that you want to change something?
I don't want to change
the rules. No, that's what you're doing.
I don't want to change the rules. But that,
it's a terrible call, but we're moving on.
It shouldn't be grouped with, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, it shouldn't be grouped with like a holding or a pass interference, because either you grabbed the face mask or you didn't.
So tell you what I see sometimes. I see a pass rusher just flat out beat an offensive lineman, and the guy basically grab him and they don't call it. So we're going to do that?
You're talking about holding.
Holding.
No, holding is a subjective call, right? I mean,
I'm saying
you can argue it.
It's like he grabs him.
You can still argue it. Holding is not cut. Holding is not cut and dry.
No, holding is. Holding just as bad.
You either grabbed it or
you
didn't, Joe. There's no in between on face masks.
When you hold a guy, you know the guy's beating you, and you still grab him as long as you can. You think you can get away with it. I just think this penalty thing's a bad idea. And Belichick was big on we should review everything. And, Bill, maybe that's why you should be out of coaching. That's a bad idea.
Texas said it may still be an issue with face masks if you don't have a good camera angle on it. They had a good camera angle last night.
Oh, no. You could see it all
morning.
They
had multiple camera angles.
By the way,
I get his head ripped
off. I think they're using it on news. It's not only a sports story. It's almost as big as the fact that the Rams, who looked like they were down and out, beat one of the best teams in football last night in Minnesota.
I just think face mask is more on the level of like a, did the ball hit the ground or did the guy get the feet in? Or
no,
it's
not.
It's cut or dry.
It's
like
not.
It's cut and dry. Like it's either one
you're still
or the
getting
other.
In, you're getting into penalties, man.
But it's not, though. It's not. It's a, did it happen or did it not happen? It's not like holding
where, disagree.
You know, maybe one guy sees it,
you know what,
that's
Woody,
a hold.
Woody,
the other guy's like,
Woody,
that's
the
fine.
The difference in me and you, this is a difference because we've been doing this together. And you get going on stuff. Every time something happens, my reaction is not to friggin' change it right away. It's just not.
But because you don't have a dog in the fight. Like, if you took Sam Darnold over 244 and a half, and he gets ripped down by his face mask at 240,
right.
And he's damn near guaranteed to go over that number on the next play, then, yeah, like, maybe you don't care.
I don't care.
Maybe you're like, whatever. You don't have a dog in the fight.
It's part of gambling, too.
And you know what? There's probably a lot of people that had the Vikings to win that game outright. There's a lot of people that have all those guys.
Is that somebody you're sticking up for today or something? What is all this about?
No, I'm sticking up for the gambling man. And also the fantasy football players out there. What if you had Jefferson going? You need some extra points.
Doesn't do it for me.
You got JJ. You got Darnold going.
Why don't they invite you the next when they have the rules committee get together in the offseason and change two or three rules? Why don't they have you show up and show your passion in front? I think Chris Greer's on that list.
Oh, boy.
That group. He's in there.
Why don't you come, too? We'll all make friends.
Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Michael terrible idea. I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage before we get to DBJ, Don Bailey Jr., Canes radio analyst, to talk about the Cam Ward Show, man, against Florida State Saturday night at Hard Rock. And Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage saying, hey, calm down, Joe, before you get to that, man. You got to let first-time home buyers know right now that fixed rates are in the fives of the program I have. And reverse mortgages, one of the most popular mortgages going right now if you're 62 or older, and you got a whole bunch of equity in your home and you could really use it right now. The reverse mortgage, this is the reason it's become so popular. You still have a place to live. And as long as you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify for this. Fixed rates in the five, self-employed and declined by the banks. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you. And people that are living in condos and all of a sudden interest rates are going up, high insurance rates, HOA fees, and you're going, I don't know what to do. I want to stay here and look at that ocean every morning. And I can't. So now you're running up credit card debt. For some reason, 28 to 30% a month, that will chew up equity in your home real quickly. Let Michael Kotze relieve some of that money stress and get that credit card paid off. These are just some of the things that Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage does and has for 35 years right here in South Florida. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage has no life because the guy even works on Saturday and Sunday when the bank shut it down. He's always working. 7 days a week. Call or text him. Here's his cell phone number, 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Do you have a cat that's dangerously underweight? Don't be like FSU's offense, because you can score a touchdown with Don Bailey Jr.'s Cat Weight Gainer 3000. And here's even more great news. DBJ will have the promo team set up in the press box on Saturday night to hand out free samples. Unlike the eat-until-you-explode media buffet, we ask that you limit yourself to just one sample per person. See you out there tomorrow, and go Canes! We are legally required to tell you that test subject Brian Monroe has reported symptoms of ED after taking our product, which has put a pause in our FDA approval.
Wow. Now the ads are taking shots at Mr. Monroe County. Holy smoke. Let's go right to him. Don Bailey Jr. joins us this morning. DBJ, how you doing, man?
Just keeps getting better every week, though. Every week.
It never stops, boy. The creativity flowing through is unbelievable, man.
Oh, I'm telling you. And it really shows up when you and Bo are going at it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, it's bad. Hey, man, I know all these ACC games have been close, and I was looking at the numbers and just a few highlights and reading about the last game against Duke, and they just can't score points. Their defense has played well enough to win a bunch of games. That offense is scoring 15 points a game. It's not like they're playing all the powerhouses. DBJ, you got to get healthy if you're the Canes defense. Lance Guidry's defense has got to get healthy this week and put up some good numbers. Well, what's your take?
I agree with you, Joe. I mean, Florida State was scoring 40 points a game last year, and you know how we're stacked with 10 NFL draft picks and some free agents and a bunch of first rounders. And really, what they're missing the most is the quarterback spot. I mean, they just can't get it going. They're combined, they're just barely at 50%. And you know, they've had some troubles throwing some picks, and it's just not working out for them. And I'm okay with that, because I'd like to beat Florida State this year, so it's okay. I'm glad they're suffering a little bit. And you know, like you said, it would give an opportunity for this defense of Miami to come out and have a great day. And I think that they have to do that, because we're just a little over halfway done. There's a heck of a lot of football left to be played.
It's fun, and I don't worry about it. I think it's great. Last night I watched a Heisman show. I don't know if you had a chance to see the Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter and Cam Ward were the three guys that they were talking about last night on ESPN. And Cam now with 27 touchdowns, 24 through the air and 3 running. DBJ, I had no idea he was going to be this good. You've seen them all play, and I'm not talking about them being a first rounder or their NFL careers. Where's this guy rank from what you've seen through this half a season compared to some of the other guys?
I think it's important to say half the season, because If Miami wins the ACC championship and they get into the playoffs, I think it just magnifies what he did here even more. I think that's a big part of it, because if, you know, with all the numbers and the touchdowns and the production, if you lose two or three games, it kind of gets lost, and that's unfortunate. So I think you got to finish out and really do everything you can do to win the ACC and for sure get into that game. But you just look at the pure numbers, and we're going to be talking about them for years, Joe.
Yes.
I mean, you know, they're going to sit in the record books for a very long time, in my opinion. Now, I hope that's not true. I hope that the next guy comes in and can do the same thing. But, you know, it just doesn't seem to happen that way. But, you know, the part that I don't want to get lost about Cam in these numbers is, first of all, he's such a team guy. And he manages both sides of the football extremely well. And I'm not talking about on the field. You know, the way that he manages the team in the locker room, the way that he interacts with the coaches and the players, this is not a fly-by-night event here for Cam Ward. I think he's proven to the people in the National Football League, or when they start talking about him in draft conversations, that you've got a guy that is a bona fide blue blood quarterback. Yeah, he can play, and yeah, he can make the throws. And I'm sure, you know, when you get talked about by the NFL, they go the other route. You and I talk about what he does great. They talk about what he can't do.
Right.
But what he can do is he can lead. And That doesn't always happen at that position. There's guys that come in, you know, ask the Jets. I don't see how that guy has done such a great job of leading, you know. But you look at Cam Ward, I think that's the thing that impresses me the most, and his composure in all situations. And so nobody's talked about this. He's handling this success. That's the big part about it. He is the most the guy out of everybody on that team that has got the spotlight on him, and he doesn't want it. He deflects it. He talks about his other players. He talks about the wins. He is not ego-driven on this, and I think that's huge. You know, he's a very humble guy, but he works now, and that's the other side of it. He works.
Hey, DBJ, I wanted to ask you, so to start the season, Florida State's defensive line was supposed to be the strength of their team. Matter of fact, one of our former UM guys is now on that D-line. How have they played overall, the defensive line for Florida State?
I think that's the strength of their team. You know, they've got two defensive ends that are from South Florida that are pretty darn good, that can get to the quarterback. And
Marvin Jones Jr., he's one of them.
Yep, yep. The baby shade tree, right? I mean, he can get to them, and then, you know, and then those two defense tackles, Joe, you bring them up. I think they're both NFL guys for sure. And I don't mean like camp guys. I think that there's, especially the one that was playing here, I think he's going to have a career in the National Football League, because they just don't make guys that are 6'4 and 6'5 and 330 pounds that can run. And both of those guys create problems. And so their D-line is legit, and it's really about two deep. You know, there might be seven guys that can cause you problems, and they're very good. And then they got the linebacker play is good. And actually, that defense is not the issue in Tallahassee. It's absolutely not. They've got a defense in place that can cause problems and win games. Just ask Duke about what they faced on that side of the football.
Yeah, would they end up with 185 yards and won the game?
Boy,
bad was that offense turning the ball over for that to happen, to your point? Yeah.
Yeah, they just turned it over and turned it over and turned it over, and they just were relentless with it.
This would be a good test for that offensive line, which we've been bragging about, and they have been really good. And now Jalen Rivers is back, and having those guys, that's a nice big offensive line. It'll be a fun matchup to watch during the game. How about their secondary? That's where they've been making a living, and they don't get a lot of takeaways, that defense.
No, they don't. But you know what? Those guys, the safeties, are guys that got good range, and they're involved in the run game. And I think the big thing that you've got to realize about that secondary is if they get help from those defensive ends, you know, that, and get quarterback pressure, whether it's from Jones or Peyton, that's a big deal. But this, the Brown guy, the safety, number one, I mean, he's got almost 50 tackles already on the year, Joe, and had a big game, game one against Georgia Tech, where he had 13 tackles. And he's a guy that's come up with some picks, and, you know, he's a career guy. I think he's pretty darn good. And then Cypress, the corner, is big at 180 some odd pounds, and he plays the game pretty darn physical. And he's got 39 games under his belt. So, you know, they've got experience. You go to the safeties, 20 some odd games, and then you've got a couple guys that have got, you know, double digit starts and 30 and 40 games under the belt. That's big.
I tell you what, though, so far, and I think it's going to happen again, I think everybody that plays against this Canes offense now is going to change the way they play offense. I expect FSU to go for it on fourth down.
Yep.
I expect they're going to take chances because they don't want to give extra possessions and more time of possession to this Miami Hurricanes offense. You agree with that? We've seen it on special teams too a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't think people are talking about that enough. And you know, you talk about what's going on, you know, with Miami's defense. Well. People are taking chances on special teams, like we talked about, and they had a score on special teams. Louisville did return to kick, and you know, they're going to have to take more risk when you're dealing with an offense that can put 50 on you in a blink. And I think that's what happens, and that's the hardest thing to prepare for. You can prepare for 85% or 90% of what people have shown. It's that 5, 10, 15% that they pull out of the bag, and if you're not prepared for it, then, you know, you end up suffering some of the consequences. But you're 100% correct on that.
Yeah, I understand. They're desperate, man. They're desperate with one win. I didn't expect that. But I got to tell you, man, forget all that stuff because it's Big Daddy Bailey's birthday today. Did I see the big fella turn 91? Are you kidding me?
How about that, Joe? And, you know, here's all he wants. He wants to know if you'll join him at Joe's for dinner and then go get a lap dance before 6 o'clock tonight. That's all he's doing, get home for bed. That's all.
Hey, and you wonder why he's still going strong. You wonder what it is, and you just hit it. Great food and a couple of nice looking ladies somewhere just to look at.
he's still going at it, man.
I gotta tell you, he is the best. And big happy birthday out there, Big Daddy, if you're listening right now. 91st birthday and going strong. Still comes into the office, still likes to check in and see what's going on, huh?
Yeah, well, he does. He likes to say, if he hears you're there, he's definitely coming by to say hello. You know, you ain't going to miss a chance saying hello to you, man.
You get that guy a big old fat piece of cake, will you, for me tonight?
I'll get him. You know what, Joe? I'm gonna give him some of that key lime pie.
Lord, that's right. If he's not going to Keys anymore, you might as well give him a nice. Yeah, find a nice place and give him that, and let him go after that a little bit there. That's great.
That's what we'll do, man.
Hey, Don,
thank you, man.
And happy birthday. Bubba. Happy birthday, your father. That's fantastic. I hope he hears. Pops, happy birthday, man. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks, JoJo. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bubba. DBJ, Canes radio analyst tonight, and he'll be there for the call tomorrow. Can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow night at Hard Rock. And I couldn't sing happy birthday. Is that right? We can't sing? Are you serious, Woody?
No, I'm going to be honest. I forgot to check. But
why'd you tell me just you were afraid?
I don't want to get sued.
Not sued. They don't
actually,
sue you.
I don't care if you get sued, but
it's not that you get sued. You just have to pay. I can't believe somebody owns Happy Birthday.
Yeah. Maybe you should put in a bid to buy it. You do seem to like that song.
Well, I mean, come on. You're like, happy birthday.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Baptist Health, Sal Ford, before we hit this 9 o'clock hour. Never know what he's coming with, top of nine. Don't go away for that one. That's always fun. Baptist Health South Florida, one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. People ask me almost every day, where do the pros go? And I go, well, enter Miami, Miami Heat, Florida Panthers, and Miami Dolphins. Isn't that funny? They're all playing right now. FIU and FAU always playing. Take care of those doctors, those team doctors, the top specialists in the country. They put together, I think it's at 35 of the top specialists that do nothing but work on high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but from all over the country, because we have so many specialists that are considered to be the best in their field for the knee and the shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and hip and knee replacement, Achilles, all the injuries. Hey, let's be honest. If you're competitive in a team or individual sport, no matter what age, you do know that sooner or later we all get injured. It sure is nice to have Baptist Health South Florida, though, always there to take good care of us with three great locations. I always like to talk about Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, out at Hard Rock Stadium, right next to the practice facility, and 595 in Pine Island Implantation. You get everything you need. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One goal every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most as quickly as possible.